This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Ameen. Salatu wassalamu ala weekly halqa on tafsir al-imam Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di rahimahullahu ta'ala and our short commentary on it. So as usual, we will start with reading the first part of the surah and some of the tafsir. And then Brother Rayyan will read the English. بإذن الله تعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إذا السماء انشقت وأذنت لربها وحقت وإذا الأرض مدت وألقت ما فيها وتخلت وأذنت لربها وحقت يا أيها الإنسان إنك كادح إلى ربك كدحا فملاقيه فأما من أوتي كتابه بيمينه فسوف يحاسب حسابا يسيرا وينقلب إلى أهله مسرورا وأما من أوتي كتابه وراء ظهره فسوف يدعو ثبورا ويصلى سعيرا إنه كان في أهله مسرورا إنه ظن أن لن يحور بلى إن ربه كان به بصيرا. يقول تعالى مبينا لما يكون في يوم القيامة من تغير الأجرام العظام إذا السماء انشقت أي انفطرت وتمايز بعضها عن بعض وانتثرت نجومها وخسف بشمسها وقمرها وأذنت لربها أي استمعت لأمره وألقت سمعها وأصاخت لخطابه وحق لها ذلك فإنها مسخرة مدبرة تحت مسخر ملك عظيم لا يعصي أمره ولا يخالف حكمه.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سورة الانشقاق. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains what will happen on the day of resurrection of changes to mighty heavenly bodies when the heaven is sent asunder, that is when it splits apart, its stars and other heavenly bodies are scattered and the sun and moon cease to shine and hearkens unto its Lord, that is it heeds his command and listens out for what he will say. And in truth, it must do so, for it is subjugated and under the control of a mighty sovereign whose command is not to be disobeyed and whose rule is not to be opposed.
وَإِذَا الْأَرْضُ مُدَّتْ أَيْ رَجَفَتْ وَارْتَجَفَتْ وَنُسِفَتْ عَلَيْهَا جِبَالُهَا وَدُكَّمَ عَلَيْهَا مِنْ بِنَاءٍ وَمَعْلَمْ فَسُوِّيَتْ وَمَدَّهَا اللَّهُ تَعَالَى مَدَّ الْأَدِيمِ حتى صارت واسعة جدا تسع أهل الموقف على كثرتهم فتصير قاعا صفصفا لا ترى فيها عوجا ولا أمتا وألقت ما فيها من الأموات والكنوز وتخلت منهم فإنه ينفخ في الصور فتخرج الأموات من الأجداث إلى وجه الأرض وتخرج الأرض كنوزها حتى تكون كالأسطوان العظيم يشاهده الخلق ويتحسرون على ما هم فيه يتنافسون.
And when the earth is leveled, that is, it will be shaken and its mountains will be scattered away. All structures or landmarks will be made to tumble down, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will spread it out like a leather mat until it becomes very wide and spacious in order to accommodate all those who will stand before Him, despite their huge numbers. Thus it will become a smooth, leveled plain in which you will see no depression or elevation, and cast forth all that it contains of the dead and of treasures and becomes empty. The trumpet will be sounded and the dead will come forth from their graves to the surface of the earth. The earth will bring forth its treasures until they become like great columns, which people will see and will regret what they used to compete for.
وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا وَحُقَّتْ يا أيها الإنسان إنك كادح إلى ربك كدحا فملاقيه أي إنك ساع إلى الله وعامل بأوامره ونواهيه ومتقرب إليه إما بالخير وإما بالشر ثم تلاقي الله يوم القيامة فلا تعدم منه جزاء بالفضل إن كنت سعيدا أو بالعدل إن كنت شقيا ولهذا ذكر تفضيل الجزاء فقال فأما من أوتي كتابه بيمينه وهم أهل السعادة.
And hearkens unto its Lord as in truth it must. Then, O man who toils constantly until you meet your Lord, that is, you are toiling, doing good or bad deeds, until you meet your Lord. Then on the day of resurrection, Allah will certainly requite you on the basis of grace if you are among the blessed, or on the basis of justice if you are among the doomed. Hence, he mentions the details of the requital. As for the one who is given his records of deeds in his right hand, this refers to the blessed.
فسوف يحاسب حسابا يسيرا وهو العرض اليسير على الله فيقرره الله بذنوبه حتى إذا ظن العبد أنه قد هلك قال الله تعالى له إني قد سترتها عليك في الدنيا فأنا أسترها لك اليوم وينقلب إلى أهله في الجنة مسرورا لأنه نجا من العذاب وفاز بالثواب.
He will have an easy reckoning, which will be an easy discussion of his deeds before Allah. Allah will make him admit his sins until when he thinks that he is doomed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to him, I concealed them for you in the previous world, and I will conceal them for you today. And he will go back to his family in paradise rejoicing, because he has been saved from punishment and has attained reward.
وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ وَرَاءَ ظَهْرِهِ أَيْ بِشِمَالِهِ مِنْ خَلْفِهِ فَسَوْفَ يَدْعُو ثُبُورًا مِنَ الْخِزْيِ وَالْفَضِيحَةِ وَمَا يَجِدُ فِي كِتَابِهِ مِنَ الْأَعْمَالِ الَّتِي قَدَّمَهَا وَلَمْ يَتُبْ مِنْهَا وَيَصْلَى سَعِيرًا أي تحيط به السعير من كل جانب ويقلب على عذابها أو يقلب على عذابها وذلك لأنه في الدنيا كان في أهله مسرورا لا يخطر البعث على باله وقد أساء ولم يظن أنه راجع إلى ربه وموقوف بين يديه بلى إن ربه كان به بصيرا فلا يحسن أن يتركه سدى لا يؤمر ولا ينهى ولا يثاب ولا يعاقب.
As for the one who is given his record of deeds from behind his back, that is in his left hand from behind, he will call out wishing for death because of disgrace and shame, and what he will find in his record of deeds that he has sent forth and did not repent from. And he will enter the raging fire, that is, the raging fire will surround him on all sides, and he will suffer different kinds of punishment there. That is because in this world he lived rejoicing among his family, and the resurrection never crossed his mind. He did evil deeds and never thought that he would be brought back to his Lord and would be made to stand before him. Nay, he will indeed return to him, for his Lord was always watching him. So it is not appropriate for Allah to leave him without purpose, with no commands or prohibitions and no reward or punishment.
قال تعالى فلا أقسم بالشفق والليل وما وسق والقمر إذا اتسق لتركبن طبقا عن طبق فما لهم لا يؤمنون وإذا قرئ عليهم القرآن لا يسجدون بل الذين كفروا يكذبون والله أعلم بما يوعون فبشرهم بعذاب أليم إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات لهم أجر غير ممنون. أقسم في هذا الموضع بآيات الليل فأقسم بالشفق الذي هو بقية نور الشمس الذي هو مفتتح الليل والليل وما وسق أي احتوى عليه من حيوانات وغيرها والقمر إذا اتسق إذا امتلأ نورا بإبداره وذلك أحسن ما يكون وأكثر منافع والمقسم عليه قوله لتركبن أي الناس طبقا عن طبق.
Here Allah swears by the signs of the night. He swears by the twilight, which is the remnant of sunlight that signals the onset of night, and by the night and what it brings together of animals and other things, and by the moon when it is full, that is, when the light of the moon is at its brightest, when it is full, that is when it is at its most beautiful and is of the greatest benefit.
لَتَرْكَبُنَّ طَبَقًا عَنْ طَبَقٍ أي أطوارا متعددة وأحوالا متباينة من النطفة إلى العلقة إلى المضغة إلى نفخ الروح ثم يكون وليدا وطفلا ثم مميزا ثم يجري عليه قلم التكليف والأمر والنهي ثم يموت بعد ذلك ثم يبعث ويجازى بأعماله. فهذه الطبقات المختلفة الجارية على العبد دالة على أن الله وحده هو المعبود الموحد المدبر لعباده بحكمته ورحمته وأن العبد فقير عاجز تحت تدبير العزيز الرحيم. ومع هذا فكثير من الناس لا يؤمنون وإذا قرئ عليهم القرآن لا يسجدون أي لا يخضعون للقرآن ولا ينقادون لأوامره ونواهيه.
What is attested to by this oath is you, O humankind, will surely progress from stage to stage. That is, you will pass through several stages, from a sperm drop to a clinging clot, to a lump of flesh, until the soul is breathed into the developing fetus. Then he will become an infant and child. Then he reaches the age of discernment. Then he becomes accountable and subject to commands and prohibitions. Then after that he dies. Then he will be resurrected and requited for his deeds. These various stages that the human being goes through indicate that Allah alone is deserving of worship, is to be affirmed as one, and is in control of his slaves by his wisdom and mercy, and that the human being is in need and is helpless, subject to the control of the Almighty, Most Merciful. Yet despite that, many people do not believe, and when the Qur'an is recited to them, they do not prostrate to Allah. That is, they do not submit to the Qur'an or comply with its commands and prohibitions.
بل الذين كفروا يكذبون أن يعاندون الحق بعدما تبين فلا يستغرب عدم إيمانهم وعدم انقيادهم للقرآن فإن المكذب بالحق عنادا لا حيلة فيه والله أعلم بما يوعون أي بما يعلمونه أي بما يعملونه وينوونه سرا فالله يعلم سرهم وجهرهم وسيجازيهم بأعمالهم ولهذا قال فبشرهم بعذاب أليم وسميت البشارة بشارة لأنها تؤثر في البشرة سرورا أو غما فهذه حال أكثر الناس التكذيب بالقرآن وعدم الإيمان به ومن الناس فريق هداهم الله فآمنوا بالله وقبلوا ما جاءتهم به الرسل فآمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فهؤلاء لهم أجر غير ممنون أي غير مقطوع بل هو أجر دائم مما لا عين رأت ولا أذن سمعت ولا خطر على قلب بشر تم تفسير السورة ولله الحمد.
Rather, those who disbelieve insist on rejecting the Quran. That is, they stubbornly rejected the truth after it has become clear. So it should come as no surprise that they do not believe and do not submit to the Quran. For the one who stubbornly rejects the truth is a hopeless cause. But Allah knows best what they harbor in their hearts of ill feelings. That is, what they do and intend in secret, for Allah knows what they conceal in their hearts and what they do openly, and He will requite them for their deeds. Hence, He says, so give them the tidings of a painful punishment. The word translated here as giving tidings reflects the fact that tidings have an effect on the skin, showing either happiness or distress. This is how most people are. They reject the Quran and do not believe in it. But among humankind are some whom Allah has guided. So they believe in Allah and accept what the messengers brought. They believe and do righteous deeds. It is they who will have a never-ending reward. That is, no one that will never cease. Rather, it is an eternal reward, such as no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has it ever crossed the mind of man.
Jazakallahu khairan. Okay, so Surah Al-Inshiqaq, again one of those surahs that are named by something that happens or a main feature on the Day of Judgment. Al-Inshiqaq, إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انشَقَّتْ. When the skies split and open, crack, and they split open. And what that means, that the world as we know it will change. And that's the main feature of the hereafter, يَوْمَ تُبَدَّلُ الْأَرْضُ غَيْرَ الْأَرْضِ وَالسَّمَاوَاتِ. When things change, the earth changes, the sky changes. And that's just again a clear sign that things are not going to be the same. It's the beginning of a new phase of existence, a new world, where things are going to be set right and good is going to be separated from falsehood. Because in this world, by the way, this world is a mixture between good and evil. In the hereafter, they will have to be separated. Allah says, لِيَمِيزَ اللَّهُ الْخَبِيثَ مِنَ الطَّيِّبِ وَيَجْعَلَ الْخَبِيثَ بَعْضَهُ عَلَى بَعْضٍ فَيَرْكُمَهُ جَمِيعًا فَيَجْعَلَهُ فِي جَهَنَّمْ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will set apart the good from evil at all levels. Deeds, intentions, people, things, objects, everything that is evil will be set apart from what is good. And then Allah will put evil on top of each other. And then Allah will throw it in the hellfire. Because that's the only place where evil can be undone. That's the only way to deal with evil, is to throw it in the hellfire. It will be offset to the hellfire. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again is, with these words, capturing our attention as to horrifying things are going to happen on the Day of Judgment, and this great creation of the skies, and again, we don't even know how far they reach and how big they really are. This is going to crack and it's going to open, it's going to submit to its Lord and obey Him, come in obedience to Him. The same happens to the earth. It will crack open asunder, and things in it will be brought out. So what's in the earth, which is dead people, and everything that is in the earth, everything in terms of metals, treasures, good things, bad things, are all going to be laid bare. And it shows that, it seems to suggest, again, some scholars of tafsir mentioned that, they said that the earth itself, you know, all of the layers of the earth will be put at one level. So there's nothing, the earth will not hide anything. It will be spread thin at one layer. So everything will be exposed. And that's also reminiscent of what's going to happen to human beings, as Allah says, وَحُصِّلَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. Now what's in the chest, also just like the earth, will be brought out, laid bare where everyone can see it. Everything. And this is what the surah subhanAllah closes with, the same notion, where Allah says, وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا يُعُونَ. Verse 23. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا يُعُونَ. And Allah knows what they harbor. يُعُونَ comes from the root. And that's a good linguistic benefit. يُعُونَ from the verb وَعَى. وَعَى. And what does وَعَى mean? وَعَى. Those who know Arabic. وَعَى. What does وَعَى as past mean? Yes, that's an advanced meaning. Wa'a is to comprehend something, internalize it, harbor it inside, especially of knowledge. Al-qalbu wi'a'ul ilmi. And there is a hadith, although some scholars question its authenticity. Al-qulubu aw'iyatullahi fi ardihi. The hearts are the vessels. Wi'a is a vessel, or a pot, or a container that can have things, harbor things inside of it. So, wa'a, this is why wi'a is a container. It contains things. The heart is a container. And earlier, someone who memorized the Quran in the early generations, if they wanted to, they didn't use the word hafiz as much as we use it today. Sometimes it was used, but commonly they would say wa'a. Wa'al Quran, meaning he memorized the Quran. He learned the Quran. Wa'a. He contained the Quran in his heart. Okay? Wa'a al-Quran. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Wallahu a'lamu bima yu'un. Allah knows what's in their hearts, what they hide in their hearts. And Allah is going to bring it on the Day of Judgment, again for everyone to see, it will be exposed. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says how the Day of Judgment is going to unfold. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. Those who receive their book, the record of their deeds, in their right hand, then their account, the reckoning, when Allah questions them about everything, right? I gave you this, what did you do with it? Everything. Imagine everything in your life, big and small, you will be asked about it. Everything. Every simple thing. And you can even say, like, every second, every minute in your life will be questioned about it. What did you do with it? Imagine how long it's going to take. How long it's going to take? Allah is going to ask. And this is why, وَقَالُوا مَا لِهَذِي الْكِتَابِ لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا. And why? They say, you know, what's it with this book that it doesn't leave anything? It covers everything. It mentions everything, big and small. It's mentioned. Everything. Some of the Sahaba, the companions, they said, the book mentions even the wink of an eye. The wink of an eye is mentioned in the book. And again, if it's intentional, if it means something, you will be questioned about it because it's one of the actions or the deeds. So you wink in order to, you know, You could insult someone, right? Or you could actually send a friendly sort of, you know, message to someone with a wink, right? So, what did you mean by that? That's a deed or that's an action that you will be questioned about. And everything. And this is why the scholars said, this is why there is a narration from the Prophet ﷺ, يَدْخُلُ فُقَرَاءُ أُمَّتِي الْجَنَّ قَبْلَ أَغْنِيَائِهَا بِخَمْسِمِئَةِ عَامٍ. So the poorer people in my ummah will enter Jannah 500 years before the rich ones. This is not an invitation to be poor or anything, no. But why? Some of the Sahaba, I believe, they said, because the rich ones, they had more money, so the audit is going to take longer. The audit is going to take longer. So the hisab is going to take long. And that's why they will not... The poorer people, you know, their records, they say, حِمْلُهُ خَفِيف كَانَ خَفِيفَ الْحِمْلِ. They didn't have much to account for, to explain, right? So whatever they had, it can be dealt with quickly, and that's it. They go to their ultimate destination. Whereas the other ones, they have to حَتَّى يُسْأَلَ عَنْ مَالِهِ مِنْ أَيْنَ اكْتَسَبَهُ وَفِيمَا أَنْفَقَهُ. Everything you had, every penny you had, where did you make, how did you make it? Where is the source? Halal or haram? Doubtful? How did you spend it? Each one. So how long is that going to take? Audit. You know when CRA audits you? It's very stressful, right? And it could take a long time. All the details. It could uncover everything. So imagine with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why Aisha radiallahu anha narrates from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the hadith. مَن نُوقِشَ الْحِسَابَ عُذِّبْ. He who is questioned strongly. Questions strongly, interrogated in their reckoning, in their hisab, they are punished. Some of the commentaries on this hadith, they say it's not punished in the hellfire, but just this questioning, detailed questioning itself is so heavy on the self, so difficult. So that's what the adab is. Khair, inshallah. So this person who receives their record in the right hand, these are righteous people, the good people. What's this? فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. Their account will be easy, smooth. Things will go smoothly. So that's a great early sign about these people. وَيَنْقَلِبُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا. You know when you receive the results of your exam or you pass your driving test or whatever, who do you want to share the news with, right? With your family. You go and call them. In the past, when there were no phones, there were no social media, people can't wait to go back home and show everyone, this is that, you know, I got this, I got that. So, subhanAllah, believers, they would wish, as soon as they receive the good news, this is eternal success. There's no success like this. So when they receive this, they want to share it with the believers among their family. They want to return to their family, to their parents, to their spouse, to their children. You know, I made it. I'm safe from the hellfire, khalas. Like there's no concern after that. So obviously they want to share the news, and it shows, subhanAllah, the social nature of humans. The Prophet ﷺ in the hadith of Al-Bara' bin Azib, collected by Imam Ahmad al-Musnad and al-Sunan, some of it in al-Sunan, the Prophet ﷺ mentions about when the believer is in the grave and when he's questioned by the angels, مَنْ رَبُّكْ مَا دِينُكْ مَا تَقُولُ فِي الرَّجُلِ الَّذِي بُعِثَ فِيكُمْ. The three questions, who's your Lord? What's your religion? What do you say about the man who was sent to you? And he answers, his grave will open as far as the eye can see. And there is a window to his place in paradise opens up. So the hadith, the narration goes, فَيَقُولُ رَبِّ أَقِمِ السَّاعَةَ حَتَّى أَرْجِعَ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِي فَأُبَشِّرَهُمْ. So he says in the grave, oh Allah, make the hour come so I can go and meet my family and tell them about this. Give them the good news. SubhanAllah. Okay, وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ وَرَاءَ ظَهْرِهِ. As to those people, the opposite now. Those who neglected Allah in this life. Those who just went for entertainment, just went for profit, just went for pleasure. This, you know, surrendered and succumbed to the desires, lower desires of themselves, without knowing Allah, without loving Allah, without fearing Allah, without obeying Allah, without living a life in devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What happens to these people? Maybe some of them were poor, miserable in this life. Some of them were rich and they were enjoying themselves, and they were just, again, from one country to the other. Maybe they possessed a lot of things. Maybe they possessed beautiful houses and they traveled everywhere. And maybe everyone loved them, appreciated them and respected them. All of that is irrelevant. All of that is nonsense. You know those among you who, let's say, in their late 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, you know, you studied some things in school that you never came across again, right? And you say, what a waste of time. There are things they taught us in school that I never needed them in life. I never even encountered them in life. Right? They were irrelevant. They were literally a waste of time. Everything other than Allah and what leads us to Allah on the Day of Judgment is just going to sound like that. Irrelevant. Pointless. So those people who live their life ignorant of Allah, negligent of Allah, and just concerned about their desires and their personal glory and their building their greatness, their legacy, their empire, their success, right, their reputation, whatever that is. That was their life, but they didn't give Allah His rights. They forgot about Allah. So on those, on these people are going to receive their books. وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِشِمَالِهِ. With their left hand. And Allah mentions another detail here. وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ وَرَاءَ ظَهْرِهِ. Whoever receives his book with his hand behind his back. So it's not only the left hand, but even the way they will receive it, they have to twist their hand in the back, which is very inconvenient, very painful sometimes as well, and receive their books in this very awkward, weird position. And this is just the beginning of a disastrous destiny. So وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ وَرَاءَ ظَهْرِهِ فَسَوْفَ يَدْعُوا ثُبُورًا. ثُبُورًا is woe upon myself. You know when everything falls apart, destroyed, you lose everything? In the past, people used to go to the sand and just throw sand on their face. People now slap themselves and rip their clothes, right? People scream and wail and destroy things now. That's what ثُبُورًا is. Thubura is complete loss that cannot be fixed at all. That's done. Done forever. وَيَدْعُوا ثُبُورًا وَيَصْلَى سَعِيرًا. And he will enter the hellfire, the burning, blazing hellfire. إِنَّهُ كَانَ فِي أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا. When he was in the dunya with his family, with his people, with his friends, whatever, with his group and clique, he was joyful, right? Cracking jokes and laughing their heads off and, you know, doing this and entertaining that and drinking this and watching this and messing with that and so on and so forth. They were playing beautiful life, happy life. And a lot of these people, by the way, are on social media and they promote and market their lifestyle. They market their lifestyle. They say, be like me. No, thanks. Thanks. You don't judge things by their beginnings. You judge them by how they, by their ends. But by how they, you know, turn out to be on the Day of Judgment. وَيَصْلَى سَعِيرًا أَنَّهُ كَانَ فِي أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا إِنَّهُ ظَنَّ أَلَّا يَحُورًا. He thought he would never return. He thought he would never return to Allah. And الحور, حارة, يحور, is to return. إنه ظن أن لا يحور. بلى إن ربه كان به بصيرا. No, indeed, his Lord was watchful over him. Allah knows everything. He sees everything. He lets you do. He lets you mess around. But you know, Allah says, وَأُمْلِي لَهُمْ. Just gonna give them, let them mess around. Let them do whatever they want. I gave you the truth. I first placed the truth in you as a fitrah, as a sound heart and judgment. And then I send you my revelation to remind you and awaken this. Awaken this within you. So the message is within you and from outside of you. And And I sent messengers to remind you. And I created the whole world as a reminder that reminds you of me and of your, the purpose of your creation. So all of that, you know, you ignored all of that. This could not be an innocent position. Could never be an innocent position. And we should not fall for this trap, by the way. We should not. It's human nature to search. Have you, for example, can you say, oh, there's an innocent person, he never knew about food or drink, and he never felt the urge to it, and thus he died out of malnutrition. Does this make sense? Does it make sense? Unless the person obviously has some serious, you know, problem with their head, right? But have you, would it make sense? Or, you know, this person doesn't know about food. He doesn't know that he can only survive and live by consuming nutrients and drinking water. And thus, he neglected nutrition and he died. Does that make sense? It doesn't make sense. We are programmed inside of us to seek Allah and worship Him and love Him and want Him more than we are programmed to seek food and drink. Yes. And when we don't get that, our hearts ache. They feel the pain. They struggle and they suffer. Am I the only one feeling hot, or is everyone's? Hassan. Hassan, AC. We're talking about the hellfire and we're feeling hot. Allah musta'an. The Prophet ﷺ said that اشتكت النار إلى الله عز وجل, that the hellfire complained to Allah. قالت ربي أكل بعضي بعضا, and it said, oh Allah, you know, I've started to eat myself. It's burning. It's burning itself. فأذن الله عز وجل لها بنفثتين أو نفختين. Allah allowed it to vent. واحدة في الصيف وفي الشتاء. نفثة في الصيف ونفثة في الشتاء. One vent in winter and one vent in summer. فذلك أشد ما تجدون من الزمهرير ومن القيظ. He says this is when, you know, cold weather peaks in winter. Because hellfire, people think it's only fire. No, hellfire is extreme heat with extreme cold. Zamharir is the other one. So it vents in summer, the hottest day in summer, that has to do with the hellfire. Now, can you catch this with physics? No way. It's a different dimension of existence. All right? So, okay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah is aware of all of them. Then Allah says, لَتَرْكَبُنَّ طَبَقًا عَنْ طَبَقٍ. You should go through stages. And life is made of stages. Life is made of stages. And sometimes humans get in a stage or a phase and they don't see what's beyond it. And this is when humans get blind. So a child thinks they'll always be a child. A teenager thinks they'll always be a teenager. A youth thinks they will always be young. Not realizing, you know, that unnoticeably, you know, age is going to creep on you, time is going to creep on you, and you will, you know, in the blink of an eye, you find yourself old. And you find death is right round the corner. So this life, we can easily be deceived by that nature. So لَتَرْكَبُنَّ طَبَقًا عَنْ طَبَقٍ. Throughout your life, you go through stages. The most important thing is that your stages or these phases lead you to Jannah. That's it. That's the point. One thing I wanted to comment on at the beginning, Allah says, verse number 6, يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانُ إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَدْحًا فَمُلَاقِهِ. This is something we spoke about previously. Oh man, you are going to struggle, toil your path to Allah. And this is why we said life is not easy. Life is not easy at all. Life is challenging by its very nature. It's test. And test, the nature of the test, it's testing. It has to test you. It has to be inconvenient. It has to shake you around. It has to squeeze you. That's the nature of a test. So we shouldn't expect anything else from life. And people's tests are different. By the way, someone who suffers physical pain, they think, oh, no one is like me. And they look at other people who struggle psychologically, they say, oh, these people don't know what pain really is. Whereas people who struggle psychologically, they say, I wish I can only struggle physically. It's much easier. But you know, even people who lead a very, very easy life, you know, people get traumatized because of physical abuse, emotional abuse, psychological abuse, whatever the reason of that is, okay? People get traumatized if they have no tests in life. Do you know that? If life is too easy, people get traumatized. Yes, it's called an existential crisis. A person feels their life is empty, meaningless, and they have this sense of vacuum inside that they lose themselves into it. And it's traumatizing, it's extremely painful. You see, so you're going to struggle, you're going to experience pain anyway. So what is the solution? The solution is your attitude. Allah teaches us patience. Why? The strongest weapon you have in the face of the hardships of life and the tests of life is patience. Taqwa. Taqwa can embolden you in the face of life. Because any kind of struggle, suffering finds its place and becomes more meaningful. It becomes a stepping stone. It changes the meaning of everything. Everything is experienced differently with taqwa. So again, why do people... Subhanallah, we seem to be living in the most luxurious time when people have all of this entertainment, all the facilities, all of the tools and the gadgets and everything is easy. Everything, you can just order it online now, right? But people are struggling more and there is more emotional, mental issues and people are experiencing... Why? Like, look at the people of the past. How was their life? I was saying to some brothers, if you teleport some of the most miserable people of our time, who think they have been wronged, they've been abused, they've been traumatized in this world, teleport them to any era in human history. Wallah, they will beg you to come back here. Come on, like, look at their life. Their life was extremely difficult. To eat, you had to work hard. The day you didn't go out to work, there was no food to eat. And it's not like you can go to Walmart or any other store and buy food. And oh, the shelves are empty. Right? Corona days, toilet paper, those shelves were empty. At their time, there were times where if you did not grow seeds in spring, winter would come and you have no food. And you can't grow anything now. You have to wait to grow again in spring, and then things will grow in summer and autumn or fall. What do you do with this? You can't drive anywhere. There's no driving. There's no stores. What are you going to do? So it's way, way more traumatizing. People would be killed like random. So again, this life is testing. So what is the point? If you expect or think that life should treat you well, you're just going to traumatize yourself further. So what is the point? Don't worry about life. Don't worry so much about, you're so consumed. You should be preoccupied with your Creator, with Allah. You should be preoccupied with Allah. You were created for that. Just do that. Allah will take care of your affairs. Okay. Let's start with Surah Al-Mutaffifin. Start with Surah Al-Mutaffifin because okay. So a question for you. In the Quran we have Surah Al-Kafirun, right? Or Surah Al-Kafirin. We say Surah Al-Kafirun or Surah Al-Kafirin. What do we say? What is the standard? Surah Al-Kafirun. Go to the Mus'haf. What does it say? Surah Al-Kafirun or Surah Al-Kafirin? Kafirun, right? Surah Al-Mu'minun or Surah Al-Mu'minin? Al-Mu'minun. Okay. Surah... What else? Where do you have plural jama' mudhakkar salim in the Quran? Surah Al-Munafiqun, right? Surah Al-Munafiqun. So we have Al-Mutaffifun. Why this is Surah Al-Mutaffifin? Why? Why not Mutaffifun? All of the other Mutaffifun, and this is one, in. Huh? It's what? Uh-huh. Exactly, yes. This is not i'rab. This is not nahu. Okay, this is not grammar. This is not grammar. A name, okay, you can avoid, or how can I say, you can transcend or break the rules of grammar here. It's different. Okay, it's just like between brackets where the rules of i'rab do not apply to it. Why? Because al-mu'minun in the surah qad aflaha al-mu'minun as it is. Here, and قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ. So, Surah Al-Kafirun. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ. It's mentioned مُطَفِّفِين, so it's put in the title. Surah Al-Mutaffifin. Okay? So this is not i'rab. This has nothing to do with nahu. Alright? This is a title, so it's different. Okay. قال الإمام السعدي رحمه الله تعالى تفسير سورة المطففين وهي مكية. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ويل للمطففين الذين إذا اكتالوا على الناس يستوفون وإذا كالوهم أو وزنوهم يخسرون ألا يظن أولئك أنهم مبعوثون ليوم عظيم يوم يقوم الناس لرب العالمين. ويل كلمة عذاب ووعيد للمطففين. وفسر الله المطففين بقوله الذين إذا اكتالوا على الناس أي أخذوا منهم وفاء عما ثبت لهم قبلهم عما ثبت لهم قبلهم يستوفونه كاملا من غير نقص. وإذا كالوهم أو وزنوهم أي إذا أعطوا الناس حقهم الذي للناس عليهم بكيل أو وزن يخسرون أي ينقصونهم ذلك إما بمكيال وميزان ناقصين وإما بعدم ملء المكيال والميزان أو نحو ذلك. فهذا سرقة لأموال الناس وعدم إنصاف لهم منهم. وإذا كان هذا الوعيد على الذين يبخسون الناس بالمكيال والميزان فالذي يأخذ أموالهم قهرا أو سرقة أولى بهذا الوعيد من المطففين. ودلت الآية الكريمة على أن الإنسان كما يأخذ من الناس الذي له يجب عليه أن يعطيهم كل ما لهم من الأموال والمعاملات، بل يدخل في عموم هذا الحجج والمقالات. فإنه كما أن المتناظرين أو المتناظرين قد جرت العادة أن كل واحد منهما يحرص على ما له من الحجج، فيجب عليه أيضا أن يبين ما لخصمه من الحجج التي لا يعلمها، وأن ينظر في أدلة خصمه كما ينظر في أدلته هو. وفي هذا الموضع يعرف إنصاف الإنسان من تعصبه واعتسافه وتواضعه من كبره وعقله من سفهه. نسأل الله التوفيق لكل خير.
سورة المطففين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Woe! This is a word of punishment and warning to those who give short measure. Allah explains who they are in the following verses. Who, when they take by measure from people, demand it in full. That is, they take from them in full that which is proven to be their due, demanding it in full with no shortfall. But if they measure or weigh for them, that is, when they give people what is due from them by measure or by weight, they give them less than their due. That is, they detract something from it, either by giving short measure or short weight, by not giving the full measure of weight and the like. This is theft of people's wealth and is being unfair to them. If this is the warning for those who give short measure and short weight, then those who take people's wealth by force or by stealing are more deserving of this warning. This verse indicates that just as man wants to take his due from people, he must also give them their due when engaging in business and other dealings with them. In fact, the general meaning of this verse also includes engaging in argument and exchanging views. Usually, both parties in a dispute are eager to present their views. By the same token, they must also point out to their opponents any proof that will support their argument of which they are unaware, and they should consider the opponent's argument just as they consider their own. In such a situation, it will be known how fair-minded or biased a person is, how humble or arrogant he is, and how wise or foolish he is. We ask Allah to guide us to all that is good.
Ameen. So we'll stop here with Surah Al-Mutaffifin and comment on this part. So again, Al-Mutaffifin, Allah says, Waylun, woe to them, punishment, destruction will be upon them. And Al-Mutaffifin, Allah gives them an adjective or ascribes a trait to them, describes them with a word that comes from actions, an action. What is Mutaffifin? At-Tatfif. At-Tatfif. At-Tatfif means to take a bit from something. Take a bit from something, to withdraw something from an entity. So At-Tatfif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-Mutaffifin, wa al-Mutaffifin, Al-Ladhina idha ktalu ala al-Nasi yastawfun. That when it's like they buy of you a measure, let's say 2 kilograms, they make sure that it's 2,000 grams exactly, nothing less. It's an exact measure, they take it. But when you buy off them, okay, 2 kilograms, they give you like 1 kilogram, 910 grams. So they take from it 90 grams. It might not be much, right? But with valuable things, it's actually much. And over time, with many people, it amounts to quite a lot. Even if it's what? Even if it's 1 gram. If it's done intentionally, not by mistake, and the person has done all they can to be fair and just, if it's, again, even if it's 1 gram, then they will be held accountable. They are mutaffifun. And subhanAllah, a few points of benefit. First, we have al-wazn and we have al-kail. Allah mentions al-ladhina idha ktalu from kail. So there is two things. There is kail and there is wazn in the Arabic language. Kail is a measure of size, just like liters. Liters. Wazn is a measure of weight. At the time of the Prophet ﷺ, the basic foods like al-hinta, wheat, al-sha'ir, barley, al-tamr, dates, al-zabib, raisins, aqt, dried yogurt or dried milk, they would use it for cooking. These things were bought and sold based on size. Based on size, not weight. Kail. So this is why, al-kail is what? You have al-mud and al-sa'. Mud is 2 hands full. Middle, again, middle size hands. This is mud. This is mud. 2 hands together, they're filled. Sa' is 4 of those. So the, for example, Sadaqat al-Fitr, فَرَضَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ صَدَقَةَ الْفِطْرِ صَاعًا مِنْ بُرْ صَاعًا مِنْ تَمْرْ صَاعًا مِنْ شَعِيرْ صَاعًا مِنْ أَقِطْ حديث عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم prescribed صدقه الفطر صاع. صاع means 4 full hands, handfuls. This is صاع. And there is a cup now, that's called As-Sa' al-Nabawi. It is the same, it is actually called As-Sa' al-Iraqi. The people of Iraq kept the measures of Medina. Later on, in Medina, the original measures changed. So Sa' al-Medina is not as it was at the time of the Prophet ﷺ. Now the fuqaha, they say As-Sa' at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, huwa As-Sa' al-Iraqi. There is As-Sa' al-Shami, As-Sa' al-Misri. So people in different countries change that size. But the size that was at the time of the Prophet ﷺ was maintained in Iraq. So it was al-Sa' al-Iraqi. So the Prophet ﷺ, the scholars, and I think there's a narration from the Prophet ﷺ that al-barakatu fil kayli. That there is more blessings and this is not, the wording is not the wording of the hadith, but there is a meaning narrated from the Prophet ﷺ that there is more blessings in volume, measuring by volume rather than weight. But now everyone measures by weight. Everyone measures by weight. Again, so this is just a linguistic linguistic benefit. Okay.
الذين إذا اكتالوا على الناس يستوفون وإذا كالوهم أو وزنوهم يخسرون. One modern manifestation of المطففين, التطفيف. One modern is very common thing that when a very clear and agreed upon unit is changed, its value is changed in the market. And it only gets to be discovered. It's in fine print, but eventually it becomes common knowledge a few years later. For many years, and I'm not sure here in Canada, but in different countries, I actually checked the fine print, service providers, cell phones, in their fine print, they tell you, for example, in the past when mobile phones or cell phones were still like a new invention, you could get a plan with 50 minutes. You're laughing at that, you're getting unlimited. They were doing like 50 minutes and you would pay probably $40, $50 for that at the beginning. So 50 minutes, but people were, again, timing their calls, and it was not 50 minutes. So when they checked in the fine print, a minute in their measure is not 60 seconds. It started as an industry norm or standard as 50 seconds. And then eventually it was brought to 48 seconds. In many countries now, a minute in terms of communication actually counts as 48 seconds. That's mutaffifi. That's clear mutaffifi. Now you're selling something, people sell things, right, on Kijiji, people sell things on Marketplace, Facebook, etc. And you hide some of the flaws in the things you're selling. مطففين. ويل للمطففين. This warning from Allah falls upon this person. It's a serious thing, very, very serious thing. You're selling something, you have to clarify what it is. You have to clarify what it is. Now we live at a time when the most of the mutaffifin are who? It has become a profession, by the way, but slightly more intelligent, in a more intelligent way. Marketing. Marketing now is all about what? A lot of it. And it's so normal that people don't even question it. Why? Oh, this is marketing. These are the, so what? Like, is this from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Oh, these are the rules of marketing. This is marketing that works. What if it's a lie? What if it's deception? Like, for example, and this is something Muslims have used a lot, like there is a psychological rule that says that humans, when they feel something is scarce, they would go for it. They would buy it, even when they don't need it. So you actually get people to buy it even when they don't need it. So you'll find people selling something, let's say, only 50 units left. And they have hundreds in their store, in the storage. Why? Because people say, 50? They're gonna go fast, let me get mine. They don't need it, they don't think. It's like something takes them over and gets them to buy it. It's called the law of scarcity. You walk into a shop, or again, now it's used more like free. They give you something for free. There's nothing for free, right? It's the law of reciprocity. You go into shops, especially in the Arab world, now you probably go to Umrah or Hajj, you find, that happened to me in Turkey. So the guy receives you so nicely, they make you tea, they make you coffee, they give you sweets, and you just feel like so taken care of, and you feel shy, you feel obligated to buy. They're not doing this to be generous to you. They know how this works, reciprocity. Reciprocity. What? That's cheating, that's lying, that's deception. Okay, let's go back to al-mutaffifin. So the beautiful thing Imam al-Sa'di rahimahullah says, he said this doesn't only apply to measures and weights, and then you sell and buy, but it also applies, where he say, when you take people's money by force, or someone is not aware of their rights, so you take advantage and you don't give them what they deserve. You are from al-mutaffifin. You know, it happens a lot. Oh, this person doesn't know. Forget, no one tells him. He didn't ask about it. If he asked, I would give it to him, but he didn't ask. Playing dumb, right? Mutaffifin. Mutaffifin. He takes it further. He says, with debates.
discussions. A debate and a discussion is supposed to be to weigh up indications, evidence, to arrive at the truth. It's not about you, it's not about the other person at all. Now, if you are just presenting your points and downplaying their points and their arguments, and you know that there's an argument for them, but the person is not aware of it, and it could actually weaken your position and change the course of the argument or the debate, and you keep it because you want to win the argument or win the debate, you are mutaffifin. You are from the mutaffifin. You're unfair, you're unjust. Serious, right? I have to take that seriously. We think, oh, I never even thought that Allah would hold me accountable based on something like that. This is how, you know, we have emptied our life from the connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one person that I really saw did that very well was Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala. Ibn Taymiyyah, like honestly, and this makes people like misquote him. Some people say, you know, Ibn Taymiyyah says this and that, and it's something Ibn Taymiyyah is completely against. Why? Because Ibn Taymiyyah is laying the arguments of his opponent so faithfully and so meticulously and in length that someone who doesn't read very well, he just cherry picking, they think, oh, Ibn Taymiyyah, 5 pages, he's proving this point. Do you see what Ibn Taymiyyah is saying? And you go back to it, you read a few pages back, and you realize Ibn Taymiyyah is making an argument for his opponent. And when you read it, wallahi, you say, like, this is, like, there's no way you can push back against this argument. And this is from the justice, his justice, wallah. And his sort of, what I would say, sincerity in searching for the truth. And then he would respond to these arguments. That's justice. That's fairness. Whereas I've seen a lot of people, especially in modern days, when they talk about Ibn Taymiyyah, they accuse him of things that are not in him. Why? They just want to win. And why? Ibn Taymiyyah has a way of, like, he has his own concepts. Not that they are weird, but he's so clear about his concepts and what they mean, and he doesn't agree with how certain concepts are used. So he debates them, and he says, we can't use this word in this context. Then you find people who, again, push against him. They take a statement that he says based on his own conceptualization, they interpret it, and mostly knowingly, according to their own rules, and then they come up with an accusation, they work out an accusation and level it against Ibn Taymiyyah. For example, the whole concept of Ibn Taymiyyah, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being above his throne. Right? 7 times in the Quran, Ar-Rahman ala al-Arsh istawa, aw istawa ala al-Arsh. He rose above the throne. Ibn Taymiyyah says, that's it. In Sahih Muslim, the Prophet asked the young lady, Al-Jariya, where is Allah? She said, above. Fawq. They don't like this. It doesn't go with their rules. So they say, Ibn Taymiyyah. So they say to Ibn Taymiyyah, so when you say Allah is in a direction, Ibn Taymiyyah says, I don't use this word because it's not in the Quran. It's not in the Quran, jiha. I don't use it, I don't approve of it, I don't deny it because the Quran doesn't deal with it. And it could be understood differently by many people and what it means, consequences, implications by different people. I don't ascribe to the word. He said, no, you ascribe jiha to Allah. And you say jiha, Allah mutahayyiz. Allah is in a space, that means. When you ascribe direction to Allah, you mean that's mutahayyiz. He's in a space. And if he's in a space, then he is jism. Then he is a physical body. So they accuse Ibn Taymiyyah that he's mujassim. And they literally say, Ibn Taymiyyah says Allah has jism, Allah has physical body. A'udhu billah. What could be more deceptive than that? That's exactly what these people are doing, mutaffifin. Whereas go to Ibn Taymiyyah, he says, I don't approve of that logic that you are saying. But for them, they say, no, if you say this, this is what it means. He says, I don't agree with this. He says, this is faulty logic. They say, oh no, if you say this, then you are this. This is called what? Forced rhetoric. Forced rhetoric. If you say this, this is what it means. no, that's wrong. And he proved how this is a faulty logic and doesn't make sense. He disproved it. They said, no, if you say this, that's the conclusion, you are mujassam. A'udhu billah. So, mutaffifin, again, so this is a good sort of detail added by Imam al-Sa'di rahimahullah. He says that, so what is the opposite of mutaffif? A fair person, just. Give people their rights even when it's upon you. أن تقول الحق ولو على نفسك يا أيها الذين آمنوا كونوا قوامين بالقسط شهداء لله ولو على أنفسكم. All you who believe, establish the truth, act upon the truth, and be just and fair even if it's against yourselves. ولا يجرمنكم شنآن قوم على ألا تعدلوا. And do not let the hatred, the enmity you have towards someone, the dislike you have, or the any issue that you have with someone, don't let them lead you to treat them unjustly. Don't do injustice to them. So again, subhanAllah, sometimes we don't think about these implications, but it's very important. Let's take it further. Husband and wife. Wife knows that her husband is right in this argument that they're having. And instead of admitting, she still says, no, this and that, you did this, you did that. And she hides something that knows that proves his point. Obviously, you know, better the arguments, don't be bitter, and don't get really sour, and you should be forgiving and graceful to one another. But generally speaking, I'm just giving an example. Or the husband knows his wife has a point there, and he made a mistake, all right? And he hides the proof, and he still argues that he has not done that. What is this? Mutaffifin. Serious. And sometimes we do this with our kids' children. So it's very important to, you know, be careful about these things. And Allah gives a very strong warning, وَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ. And wail, according to some of the scholars of tafsir, وَادٍ فِي جَهَنَّمْ. It's a valley in the hellfire. It's a valley in the hellfire. Okay. We'd stop here and take a couple of questions. Hopefully, if there are questions, just keep them, you know, on topic. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Questions? Tafadhali. Good question. Are we talking about the book, for example? Okay, someone buys a book and you say they want to return it or they want to sell it? Oh, you're selling a used book. So you advertise it used and quality or state like new, fair, good, whatever. So there is, look at the standards of that kind of industry. You actually, they have a few grades, like new, very good, good, fair, I don't know, whatever. If you look at it, generally speaking, it sounds like an accurate description. An accurate description. And it's good to sort of break it down into four or five. It really sort of categorizes the different qualities into something relatable and close. So that seems to be a good system. We look at how, generally speaking, al-urf, here it's called al-urf, the general norm. How do people go around these things? So used books, generally speaking, you're selling them for half the price or even less. So let's say $10. It's not really much. So people who buy a book, if your description really, like when you say the book is like new and it's really like new, or let's say it's good, and it really matches what generally is assumed about what good means in this industry or in this market in general. And again, this is not a mathematical thing, but just a good judgment, a sound judgment will tell you. So you describe it, and then you look at, generally speaking, is it enough just to say it's good and that's understood, and this is what I have seen? Or does the industry require, the general practice is that if there is something wrong with it, say for example, marks or stains or some pages are loose, etc. Is there a need to say that? Is that the norm? If these details are mentioned, you have to mention them. So how is this decided? By the urf, which is the general practice, generally accepted practice among people, that is deemed to be fair. Okay? Because there are things, just according to the law of diminishing returns, there are things like you're selling something for $1 and you're just going to make a long list of what's the issues with it. I mean, writing this is actually costs more than $1, so it's not worth it. So that would be against the urf, against the norms. So this is how we usually judge these things. First, look at the system. Is it fair? It doesn't has deception in it. Yes, looks fair. How do people apply it and use it? Khalas, I give a description as people generally use this and accept it in this industry. Yeah. Okay, questions from the brothers? Nothing? Give the sisters another chance. Can you say it again? Has what? Okay, so the sister says, if someone is so concerned with the issue of them, you know, falling into injustice by asking for more than their rights, so they don't want to be from al-mutaffifin, so they're extra over-cautious, right? So they're giving up some of their rights just to be on the safe side. Is this a virtuous position? Look at the principle. Mutaffifin is about what? The warning against tatfif. What is the point behind it? What's the principle behind it? Justice. 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 Justice on both sides. By its very definition, justice works on both sides. So now I'm so obsessed, I need to really check the source of this obsession. Yeah, I need to check the source of this obsession. Because as they say in Arabic, al-mal al-sayl, the loose money incites people to steal. Actually, there is a psychological experiment on this. There was an experiment, I forgot which country, but in a very, rich neighborhood, the researchers put a vehicle and they smashed with a stone, they smashed its windows. And they left some valuable things inside of it. A couple of days, people would just look at it. But eventually, one person broke into it. So they repeated it again. They put another car, another place in the same neighborhood, with a smashed window and valuables in it. People broke into it in a couple of hours. First, it took a few days. Now people broke into it. They put more than one car. All of them were broken into in the matter of 2 hours. Well, that loose money teaches people to steal. It provokes them. Provokes them. This is why in Islam the punishment for theft is only applied from what? إذا كانت السرقة من حرز. If the money is stolen from the house or from the shop, not money left in the street, or someone leaves their money in the open, or someone puts their phone in the parking lot, on a car, on the top of a car. Stolen, person is caught, punishment doesn't apply. This is money left loose. You can't do that. It doesn't make the theft halal, but the punishment doesn't apply. The person has to break into and take the money from a safe place. All right? So when you keep giving your rights, you're actually inciting people, enticing them to step all over you. And that's not a virtue. That's weakness. That's not a virtue. And could never be defined as virtue. Okay? But now weakness, we don't side against the weak person. But we would say, you really need, this is a very unbalanced situation, you really need to address it. You really need to address it. You need to find the right dynamics, the right procedures to deal with it. Okay? So mudaffifin is about justice. So when someone always giving their right, and this is why in Islam what is praised, as the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-afwu inda al-maqdira. Forgive people when you are able to punish them. Not mere forgiving. Because many people forgive because they can't punish, out of helplessness. So this is why in Islam we must differentiate between forgiveness, virtue given because someone is helpless, or they're weak, or they're so obsessed. No. Giving generously from generosity, that's different. That's a virtuous position. Okay, so that's number one. Number two, if someone doesn't know their rights and the other takes it. Okay. Yeah, so a person gives up their right because they expect the dynamics of the situation to turn against them or to create problems, right? And maybe lose other rights and things like that. So again, they sort of wanna. Yeah, of course, if the other person has taken advantage, then this person is from mutaffifin, an oppressor, definitely an oppressor. The other one who takes advantage of a person who is cannot defend themselves or they don't know their rights, this is something despicable. A person with a good heart, a person with a sense of morality can never do this. And it's going to return. And what they take is haram. They say, but the other person agreed to it. No, they didn't agree willfully. This is an unfair situation. You know that. There's a difference in the power dynamics here. And that's unfair. Okay? Khair, inshaAllah. Jazakumullah khair. We ask Allah. خلاص, we had to close the maghrib. Jazakumullah khair. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And a couple of minutes, just make dua for yourself and for your family and for the Muslims in general. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.